Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
All right.
Great.
Okay. Must be the cold weather. It's got your tongue there, or what?
It is cold. I was wondering.
It's yeah. It's a chilly fall day. Gentlemen, we're getting ready to for our listening audience. We're getting ready to launch our annual study on forgiveness. But in preparation for that, everything that we've been have studied with Brennan Manning's Ragamuffin Gospel. As of late, we've been reflecting on that, not just as a theory, but something that also comes with some sort of technology or application, right? That is, it's one thing to say certain things, but it's entirely different to do certain things, right? So today, I'd kind of like to focus on that. And the text that I'd like to have us reflect on comes from the first letter of John. We're going to be looking at chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. And then we're also going to jump over to chapter 4, verse 8, just to kind of throw that as the end. All right, so, Eric, would you mind reading that?
Sure. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. If anyone who does not love remains in death, anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth.
And then over in chapter 4, verse 8.
Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love.
So, just to summarize the direction I like to see the conversation go for us, all right? John gives us a little background on the whole love thing. Love as being the least wrong way to think of God, mm-hmm. All right? And he does acknowledge that we see that most fully expressed. It's not the first expression. It's not the last expression. But it is the most fullest expression of Jesus the Christ through his own life, death, and resurrection. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to kind of be like the master, then we too need to be practicing kind of the incarnation, crucifixion, and resurrection in our own lives. And not just limit that to word and speech. All right? If we're going to be transformed, we in a sense put to death even the word and speech so that we can be raised anew, born again, transformed, resurrected, whatever term you'd like to use, mm-hmm. into really an imitator, ambassador, Christ-like. Paul uses those terms. Mm-hmm. So that we look like Jesus in our actions, and therefore we reveal truth. Okay? Over in 4:8 it says, well, if we're not doing that, we don't know God, regardless of how much we say we do. So part of the application is we have to take this this intellectual, verbal stuff and make it practical. Right? It's a movement from orthodoxy to orthopraxis. It's one thing to be concretized, well-versed in all of our doctrines and dogmas and belief systems, the orthodoxy. But orthodoxy without orthopraxis is dead. That's what James says, right? Faith with mm-hmm. right? Faith without deeds?
Yeah.
Dead.
Dead.
And John's trying to say, look, we're not dead, which implies what? We're alive right. Because we're practicing love to those in need. Mm-hmm. All right. What say you?
14 speaks really loud to me in that this morning, this concept, a lot of this first century Christianity is so concerned. It's really cool to see this concept of living and death that they really understood. Like, I was living and I wasn't alive. And then I met Jesus. And now I'm living, but I'm actually alive. And that concept is interesting to me this morning, that, like, dormancy or bearing fruit type thing. And I don't know, it's just the way John says it in this letter is so plain. It just seems like the understanding of it is a lot deeper than we have culturally. Right now he says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. If anyone does not love remains in death. It's just very plain and cut and dry. I like.
And particularly, Eric, I like that. Particularly if we add his little definition of God, least wrongly understood in chapter 4, verse 8, love. Mm-hmm. God is love. All right. Well, you can't say you know God, you're in God, if you're not doing God.
Right.
And in a sense, God is the life source. Mm-hmm. So if you're not doing God, you don't know God, you're dead. Because you're not connected to the life source.
Right.
But if you start realizing that you're connected to the life source, then you should be alive, resurrected, right? And that reality, that transformative reality, ought to mean that our behaviorally we act different.
Right. Okay. I don't know. I guess I understand what Eric's saying, but I interpret it a different way. Verses 13 through 18, it's like basically he's saying, are you living a Christ life? Like, if you say one thing, and then go out and do another. That's the way I'm taking it. Is that what he's talking about?
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's an either or. I think you're both right.
Okay.
We would say we can go to church every Sunday, mm-hmm. and we can sing the songs, and we can say the prayers, and we can confess our belief in both doctrines, dogmas, and even in the biblical narratives.
Mm-hmm.
Of Jesus the Christ, and yet not love people. And okay. John's really come out and going, if you're not doing that, if you're not loving people, I don't care what you're saying and doing in church. Now, the Old Testament, Isaiah has quite a bit to say on that too. Mm-hmm. Right? God disdains our worship if we're not practicing justice. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Nowhere does he say, I'll accept your worship if you practice injustice.
Right.
I will not accept your worship if you're not doing justice, which means bringing right relationships.
Okay.
Which means you got to recognize the other person in a relationship, and then we would say love.
Mm-hmm.
Will their good. So there is this ongoing thing that we need to move beyond word and speech. Right? That's part of our transformation. So those of you that are gathered around here that. Those of us, mm-hmm. right, who have had an addiction past,
yeah.
right, we would say we were oppressed, we were enslaved. But if we're going to put that to death, right, we have to put that to death in order to become somebody new.
Right.
And the somebody new is more than just being a sober individual. Mm-hmm. Right. Sobriety in itself is a good thing, but mm-hmm. that doesn't mean you've really been transformed.
Right.
You can still, you're just a non-using addict.
Yeah.
Is what it
basically
it gets reduced to. Mm-hmm. Because behaviorally, you're still the same.
Yeah.
You're just not using. Mm-hmm. We can do the same thing that, well, you know, I used to be a scoundrel, you know. Maybe I wasn't necessarily an addict or anything, but, I ran around women, you know.
Yeah.
I caroused, you know, these things, maybe I would, had some criminal behaviors, mm-hmm. and da da da. So now I found Jesus and I'm going to church,
yeah.
right? And so I'm saying all the right things, but if you're still carousing on the weekend, right? If you're still, you know, a business person or something that's ripping somebody off, mm-hmm. you're behaviorally, you haven't changed. There's no resurrection there, despite whatever you're saying.
Yeah.
All right? But if you get touched by the Christ, Right? And that resurrects something. That puts to death the old to resurrect the new.
Yes.
It's what Jesus says in John 12, right? Unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies,
dies alone.
We have to die. We have to die to the old.
Yes.
Be resurrected to the new, transformed, born again, changed, whatever language you want to use there. It all means the same thing. The recognition of that transformation, resurrection, is love. An action toward others. Right? Willing the good. And here, John is specific about really those who are in need. Mm-hmm. Right? Jeremiah 22 talks about, you know, if you want to know God, right, you'll defend the cause of the poor and the needy.
Yeah.
Right? Why? Because we care about them. We love them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so part of concretizing the fact that we know the truth, that we know God, is how we treat
others,
the others. Not what we say about others.
Yes.
Or even about our own faith. So, I don't know. Does that help explain that?
Oh, yeah. But the person that goes to church on Sundays and acts like the devil through the rest of the week, why does that guy go to church on Sundays?
Probably to convince themselves that they're okay. Before we were on the air, I kind of gave the example. It's much like the generalization of Facebook.
Right.
Oftentimes, we use these social media platforms to convey our idyllic sense of self to other people. This is what I want other people to think about me.
Okay.
So I may go to church just so that people think I'm a good guy. But behaviorally, I may not be a good guy.
Right.
And so which one's the true you? The one you post on Facebook? The one you confess in church? Or the one that lives Monday through Saturday?
Yeah.
And what you do. It's a challenge to all of us.
Yeah.
We all have this type of challenge.
Well, no one's perfect, right? And everyone, you know, so every day we may have to crucify some kind of bad behavior,
sure.
For example.
Yeah.
Other than that.
Yeah, and understand, I don't think, nowhere do we see, so Jesus say, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect,
mm-hmm.
right, in the Sermon on the Mount. Nowhere is he saying, be flawless like God is flawless, right, because we'd say the absolute substance lacks nothing.
Yes.
Right? John would say that God is light, and in him there is no darkness, which just means it's pure,
mm-hmm.
right? That's not what he's talking about, flawlessness.
Right.
In the Greek, we really come to understand what he's talking about. Be complete.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be like.
Mm-hmm.
And what do we see? God, at least wrongly understood as love, act throughout all of creative history. It's usually through love.
Yeah.
Right? So be like that. You know, as best you can. But the emphasis is, it's not an either or. It's not orthodoxy, our beliefs and dogmas and doctrines.
Uh-huh.
It's not that only. And it's not just simply orthopraxis, just what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We do things because of what we believe.
Exactly.
But the belief can be just word and speech. That in itself is not enough. That's what John is saying. Nice discussion, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
I thank you all for your participation. So until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a women's and children's transitional housing program. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.